Thank you for this day, for this service, Lord. We thank you for little Adam and the family. Bless them. Bless all the visitors, Lord, their family that's present. Lord, and we thank you for the mission team right now. Lord, getting them all the way to Casa Hogar there in Mexico, the orphanage. And Lord, that safety to the orphanage. And when they come back, safety all the way back and all the way back home. And Lord, use them to minister to those children. And may great things, great and awesome things come out of this time while they're there loving the children. Now, Lord, open up our hearts this morning. And Lord, help me to teach your word faithfully, truthfully, accurately. Please just take me over if you would, Lord, and just use me where the people don't see or hear me, but they see and hear Jesus. Lord, just bless the word that you've exalted above your very name this morning. And Lord, if there's anyone present that's listening online, listening live right now to us, or anyone in this chapel, anyone in the lobby, in the overflow area that they're listening as well, then Lord God, we thank you. If they don't know you, we claim them for the kingdom of God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Let's turn this morning to the 1 John in the New Testament, there toward the, nearly at the very end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, as we continue our study through this wonderful epistle. And you know, what's interesting is how here we are so close to Christmas, and in a sense, this could be even a Christmas message in a way. And but let's look at 1 John chapter 4, and let me read our text to you this morning, beginning in verse 1. John writes, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You know, 163 words is what I just read. And may I say to you that those are some of the most important words found in the entire Bible. They should be precious to us, living truth to us. We should abide in them. We should understand exactly what God is saying to us this morning. I'll tell you, there is nothing greater than for every believer to be able to discern what is true and discern what is false. Amen. And the way that we do that is to test the spirits. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. About testing the spirit. Is it the spirit of truth that's speaking? Is it the spirit of error that's speaking? Now, you who are born again, if we're born again this morning, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, he lives in our heart, that means that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. Amen? We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. Now, listen very, very carefully. The Holy Spirit, it says, holy, holy. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever be associated with lies or anything that has to do with a lie. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you, that dwells in me, the Holy Spirit will never, will never, will never, will never leads you to do or say anything that is contrary to his will or contrary to the living word of God that you hold in his hands. Amen? Boy, that's important. That's very important. There's a lot of people today that do things and they say the Holy Spirit told them to do it. But you know, the truth of the matter is that may not necessarily be true. We need to know the spirit of truth and the truth of error. Because see, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Matter of fact, Jesus told us in the Bible that he is the Spirit of truth. He will abide with us forever, it tells us in John 14:16. It says the world cannot receive him, meaning the Holy Spirit, because they don't know him. But Jesus goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, he will be with you, and he's here with us this morning, but he will also live in you. Amen? Now listen very carefully. We live in a world today where the biblical worldview is literally passing away. People don't even have a biblical worldview, and many in the church, unfortunately, do not possess that any longer. The Word of God tells us this. There are only two kinds of life on earth. Only two kinds. A person is either in Adam, a natural man, in Adam, the fallen one, the one who fell, in Adam, the Bible says, in Adam all die, or you're going to be in Christ, and in Christ all are made alive. Amen? So there's only two lives that a Christian can have, or a person can have, rather. And you know what? There are only two roads that a person can be on. It doesn't matter where they are in this life, what station of life, there are only two roads, Jesus told us. The first road is the narrow road. Now, the narrow way, thank God, we know where it leads. It leads to life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to follow, that means you're following Jesus. So the narrow way, and then the other way, Jesus called the broad way. He said the broad way is the way that leads to destruction, and many, many go in there, it says. Any lifestyle will fit. Any way will work. The Bible tells us not only is there two kinds of life, but there's two ways to build your life. Jesus said you can build your life on the rock, that's him, or you can build your life on sand. And boy, if you do that, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And speaking of only two kinds, there's only two kinds of wisdom in the world. There's the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. Now, with all that being said, there are only, this is vital that we get this morning, because God does not lie. He cannot lie. There are only two spirits operating in the world. Only two. No more, only two. And it is either the spirit of truth or it is the spirit of error. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's look at our text this morning, beginning in verse 1 about testing the spirits. He starts off with a very tender word. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now, that did you know that's a command? In other words, it would read like this in the Greek. It would read, stop believing every spirit. That means that the church in John's day, and as well as today, that means that some people are being led astray that are in the church. Amen? It means that some people in the world are being led astray. He says, listen, I'm commanding you guys. He said, don't believe every spirit. He says, but do something else. He says, but test the spirits, prove the spirits, whether they are of God. So that commandment right there. Listen, first of all, what is a spirit? I mean, he's not talking about literally the spirits. What he's talking about is whoever is speaking for God, whoever's proclaiming God's word, or whoever's proclaiming a doctrine of God. Listen, that means pastor, prophet, it means a preacher, it means evangelist, it means believer, whoever is talking for God. It says, and here's what you to do, whoever's doing that. It says, I want you to test the spirits. That doesn't mean to judge a person, it means to approve what they're saying. In other words, you need to check out what I'm saying. You need to know, am I teaching the Bible? Have I rightly divided the Word of God? Am I telling you the truth this morning, or I'm making up a bunch of fairy tales? You know, listen, it says test the spirits. In other words, which spirit is speaking through the person? Which spirit is speaking through me this morning? Is it going to be the spirit of truth, or is it going to be the spirit of error? Are you following me? You need to check people out, what the things that are coming out of their mouth. And the reason is what? Well, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In other words, they haven't left the church. That's not what he's saying. They've gone away doctrinally that which has to do with Jesus Christ. In other words, his position that the Bible shows us who he is. And they've gone out and they're teaching worldly things, things of the spirit of error, into a world that's passing away, to a people that are passing away with it. So John is talking about those inside the church, not outside the church. Listen, anyone can claim to be speaking for God. Anyone can say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? But we're to test them. And why are we to test them? Well, we're to prove them for a purpose. And the purpose is the origin. Who is speaking through them? What are they really believing? Is it the spirit of truth, which of course would be God, or is it going to be the spirit of error, which would be, of course, not from God at all? So the Bible tells us to do some proving, some testing. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, it says, do not despise prophecies. Matter of fact, we should not despise any of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? No, not at all. We thank God for them, but we are to test. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, test or prove all things, and then hold fast to what is true. Hold fast to what is good. Now listen, you are to test what you hear. Matter of fact, you need to test what you read. Amen? I mean, if you're going to read, you know, the worst, you know, like somebody said the other day, the best thing that you can do is to understand commentaries is to read your Bible, you know? Did you get that? Yeah. If you really want to understand your commentary on the Bible, you need to read the Bible, okay? Because man wrote commentaries. God wrote the Bible. So we need to go to the Bible and prove. Now listen, so you need to know what God is saying. You need to know God's truth. God doesn't want you to be deceived. Listen, like you've heard me say so many times, check me out. Check out what I'm saying. Check me out what I'm teaching. Let me know. I'm teachable, man, if I'm wrong. I want to be right. Amen. You need to be a Berean. You need to search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 teaches us something again. It teaches us, there, look at it. It says at the very, it says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there are only two spirits that are working and operating in the world today. What is the spirit of error? Well, first of all, the spirit of error is to do something. The purpose is to lead a person astray. The purpose is to deceive you. It's to lead you away from all truth. The devil hates you. He hates everyone on this planet. You've heard me say so many times. And the spirit of error is to deceive, to seduce, and for you to believe a lie. Now listen to me very carefully. The spirit of error is so powerful, so strong, if you will. It is so incredibly deceptive and seductive that it literally enables a person enables a person by deception to believe what is false. That's an unbelievable thing. The spirit of error, that people actually embrace it as truth, but it is a lie. That is an unbelievable statement, loved one. In other words, you start thinking about this spirit of error. They believe a lie, and listen to me, they not only act on what is untrue, they not only trust what is untrue, they build their entire lives, and some of them entrust their very souls and their very eternity to something that is totally a lie. Are you listening to me? Yes. Boy, this is a very serious chapter. And the source of this error, I mean, where does it come from? You know the source of it? You know, let me just back up. You know what's incredible? Is that really believe a lie as truth. Don't you hate that? I mean, to really embrace a lie and you think that lie, you know what? No, that's the truth. And people will fight and die over lies. They'll die over lies. They'll go into other nations. They'll blow up buildings because of lies. Are you listening to me? Because of lies. Embracing it as truth. Listen, the source of all this error is the father of lies himself. It is the devil. Every lie on earth owes itself to one person, and that's the devil, the father of all lies. He is the source of all, the spirit of error is the source of all false teaching that we have today and every false doctrine. You know, remember what it said in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says this, now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will do something. In the last days, in the last days of the church, some will literally depart from the faith, depart from the teaching of God's word, depart from true Christianity, the doctrine of the true faith. They'll depart from it. And then he tells us why. You ready? It says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What is a doctrine of demon? Well, the word doctrine means to teach. So it means things taught by demons. Can you believe that? Is the Bible true? Amen. Amen. And we start, well, Bill, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, this spirit of error is so powerful that in the latter days, and we are in the last times right now, it's so powerful that some literally depart from the faith and go into horrible things. It's unbelievable the things that are happening. And you know, this deceiving spirit is a demon that attempts to lead people astray through false doctrine. And now, you say, well, Bill, how in the world does a demon do it? Because I've never seen a demon teach yet. You know what I mean? Well, they do it by using people. Do you understand? The Bible tells us that. They use people to teach doctrines inspired by the devil, and they pretend even divine inspiration. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy verse 2 of chapter 4. It says about these people that are teaching doctrines of demons and so forth. It says they do something. Number one, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. In other words, the spirit of error is working through them. Hypocrisy means like to put on a mask. They're not the real deal. They're masquerading, and they're not true Christians. And listen to what it says about these people. It says, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're numb. Their minds and their hearts are numb to the living God. They are numb to the spirit of truth. It's not abiding in them. So demons work through them. Those who embrace their lies and speak their lies and teach their lies, that is the spirit of error. Listen to me carefully now. Any person in any part of the world, well, let me just put it this way. Let's leave that out. Any person who stands in God's pulpit, anyone who says Jesus is our Lord here, that we are Christians, anyone that says that and then teaches that the virgin birth was not true. In other words, they deny the virgin birth. They deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They deny the inerrancy, the infallibility, if you will, of Scripture. He's not a believer. They're working for the evil one, and they have embraced the spirit of error. Do you understand me? Boy, this is so important. So how do we really, really recognize those that are not teaching us the truth, the guys that are operating in the spirit of error? Well, we do that because we test them according to their attitude toward the incarnate Jesus Christ. In other words, the incarnation itself. Listen to me. Verse 2 is so important. Here we are in the Christmas season. Verse 2 is so important that I encourage you to go home this week and do a study of every word that's present in verse 2. Every word. Because every word here is so worthy of mention. Not that I can do it in this service, but look at it. It says, how do we recognize them? How do we recognize the spirit of error? Here it comes. By this you recognize, or literally, no. By this you recognize the spirit of God. Okay, how do we do it? Every spirit, every pastor, every prophet, every evangelist, whoever it might be, every believer, whatever they call themselves, every spirit that confesses, acknowledges, believes in their heart, trust in, rely upon. In other words, confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Say it with me. Flesh. Has come in the flesh is what? Is of God. In 2 weeks, or a little over 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angel appeared unto Mary and said, Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people from their sins. Not his sins, our sins. Jesus, Yeshua. God is salvation. God saves. Jesus saves. Amen. His name implies his mission. He came to save us, to save the world. Now listen very carefully. The spirit of truth is this, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe verse 2? If you believe verse 2, then I'm going to ask you another question. I'll just put it this way. If you believe verse 2, that means that you are in the minority in the world today. The majority of the world. Now listen, I say this tenderly. I want to win the world, but the fact of the matter is, the majority of the world today is living in the spirit of era. Because they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you following me?
Yes.
Now let me say something else. Neither does America. Neither does our nation. We are a post-Christian nation. Christians are on the low side in our nation now. And so when we think about this, that means this. You know, so here we are. We're just a little minority now. And you know what? The Bible is being watered down today. It's the easy believism is just coming in. No more discipleship. No talking about sin, repentance, or hell. It's only good news all the time, meaning everything's going to work out perfectly for you all the time. Your kids are going to have perfect teeth and, you know, and you're going to make perfect grades and they're going to be perfect little kids and they're all going to wear polo clothing and you know what I'm saying. That's not true. No, listen, the devil hates everybody. He doesn't care if you're a Muslim. He doesn't care if you believe in Buddha. He doesn't care who you believe in. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy every nation. He has no mercy. He is the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. And I can tell you this. He hates Jesus because Jesus, the promise goes all the way back to Genesis 3:16. Whenever God gave that promise that, oh, you know what? There's someone coming. He's going to bruise you. He's going to crush you, Satan. You know what? You may bruise his head. He's going to crush you. And you know who that is? That's the Messiah. That's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross and stripped the devil of his power. He is the defeated one, even though he is not so defeated to everybody. Now, with all that being said, I look at that and I say, you know, Lord, I don't want to be with that majority of the world that don't believe in our Lord, meaning that Jesus is the God-man, that Jesus was born in the flesh. Listen, I'm going to say something to you. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Two things. What does that mean and why is that so important? Here we are at our Christmas season. I'm going to tell you something. It means, first of all, what does this mean? It means where it says has come in the flesh, that means that Jesus Christ, or literally Christ, has always existed. He's the pre-existent one. There's not been a moment that Jesus has not been. Are you listening to me? Jesus is God. He's always existed in God. He's the creator of everything. He sustains everything. But God was born of a woman. Think about that. Born of a woman. God was born of a woman. And he came and he lived as man. Do you ever think of Jesus that way? What kind of picture do you have of Jesus? Listen, when I think of my Lord, I think if he walked into the room, he would be the God-man. Or do you understand? Yes. No. I mean, he would have hair like I have hair, except I'm sure it would be a little different or whatever. No, do you understand? No, listen. Jesus was born of a virgin in a feed trough in Bethlehem. Because there was no room in the inn for him. And you know what? God was placed in the very arms of a woman who touched him, who changed his diapers. Are you listening to me? He was a man. Jesus was real. He wasn't a phantom. He was a man, the God-man. He was held by his mother, rocked by his mother. Jesus, the God-man, listen to me, has come in the flesh. God in the flesh, in the arms of a woman. Do you see that? What I'm saying? He felt the mother's kiss. He played with his brothers and sisters as he was growing up and probably beat them all. Do you understand me? He looked through eyes that, you know what, that he created. He walked on earth that he made. He saw the blue skies and he knew everything about it. Listen to me. The sun that he created shined on him. The moon at night he looked at I know I don't want to add to scripture, but I can just say it this way. He might have sat there, and I'm not saying he did, but he might have said, I remember when I spoke you into existence. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
God man, the God man. See, when it says he has come in the flesh, that's why, oh, this is so vital that we get this. See, when it says has come in the flesh, it means this. It means a permanent, those words are important, a permanent union between God and man. Permanently joined together. Permanent union, divine nature, human nature, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. Has come in the flesh means that Jesus is both God and man at the same time. Now listen to me, and his manhood remains forever. That troubled some of you, didn't it? Listen, in the flesh, that's where we get the word incarnation, because that's what it means, in the flesh. It does not say into the flesh. It said in the flesh. Did you catch the difference? The reason I say not into is because there's a false teaching still today that originated way, way back in the beginning there with John the Baptist and everybody else, and John, the Apostle John, that taught that there at the baptism in Matthew chapter 3, that Jesus, here comes Jesus, he's waiting in line literally to be baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And then it says as Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven came, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And people teach even today, well, that's when Jesus became God. And then when he died on the cross, he was just man because the Spirit left him and he was no longer God. That is the spirit of error. That is not true. Are you following me? Yes. Oh, it's so important that you get that into your heart, loved one, because Jesus is the God-man. He is our great high priest, you listen to me, that is seated at the right hand of God, that ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is the God-man. We have our forerunner is a man, the God-man. He's in heaven for us right now. I don't know how that makes you feel. But you see, that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we need to know and we need to embrace. I'm going to ask you a question. Whenever he returns, who's going to return? Acts 1:11 teaches us the same Jesus. It says the same way he left, the same person. He's coming back. He's the God man. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Listen, when you get to heaven, are you going to look different? This is the smart side. We're still praying for these people. When you get to heaven, are you going to be different?
Yes.
Yes. You're going to look like your Savior, aren't you? Well, his body was incredible. He could walk through the walls, but he wasn't a phantom. He told Thomas, he said, Thomas, you boys, get over here. Don't be afraid. I'm paraphrasing. He said, listen, he said, you know, he says, a spirit doesn't have flesh and blood and all this. He said, flesh and bone. Look at me. Touch me. Put your finger in my side. Give me some honeycomb. Let me eat it. He's the God-man. The God-man was raised from the dead. The God-man ascended, and the God-man is coming back after you and back after me. He's going to return. Now, let me ask you a question. Why, now that we know what it means, why is that so important? Why is it so important? I'll tell you. If the pre-existent Son of God did not become man in Jesus, if that is not a fact, if that is not true, if Jesus is not Emmanuel, Emmanuel means God with us. Are you following me? If Jesus is not Emmanuel, if Jesus is not God manifested in the flesh, Timothy says, Paul told Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifested in the flesh. It is a mystery. It's unbelievable. If that is not true, listen to me now. If the incarnation, if Jesus is not God, not born, if he's not the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, fully human, fully divine, if that's not true, then the cross is meaningless. The empty tomb is meaningless. See, you have to go all the way back to the virgin birth. And if that is not true, we're here for nothing. We're believing a bunch of fairy tales. Listen, if the incarnation is not true, it means the Bible's not true. It means that Isaiah 9:6 is not true, where it says, for unto us a child, capital C, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Child, son. The word child speaks of the Messiah's humanity. The word son speaks of his deity. Jesus is the Son of God. He is fully God and fully man. Are you following me? So important. And if the incarnation is not true, if Jesus is not God manifested in the flesh, then John 1:14 is not true, where it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. If Jesus is not God in the flesh, if he's not the God-man, then John 14:9 is not true, where Jesus looked at Thomas and said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If the incarnation is not true, Christian. Oh, why is it so important? If it's not true, it means this, Hebrews 2:9. It means that Jesus was not made a little lower than the angels for just a little time. It means this, that he did not taste death for every man. Are you listening to me? It means that's not true. He didn't, how important that is. If Jesus is not God with us, if he is not Emmanuel, if he is not God manifested in the flesh, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, it means that John 3:16 is not true. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It means there was no real suffering on the cross. Are you following me? See, it means all of that is not true. It means that we haven't overcome the enemy. It means that we're still in our sins. That no, our sins have not been paid for. It means all of it wasn't real. Are you listening to me? You know what it means? It means when we gather for our Christmas message and for Christmas Eve service, it means that when we're all together and we're singing Silent Night or Noel or Oh Holy Night or Away in a Manger, whatever we're going to sing, it means all of those little carols are nothing but fairy tales. But he is God. Amen. He is God manifested in the flesh. He walked among us. He looked at us. Can you imagine Jesus just, I know the Spirit of the Lord is here because he inhabits his people. But I'm telling you, for Jesus just to walk in, the God-man, to be with us, pure perfection, pure holiness, pure sinlessness, no sin at all, to see him. For when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen. Oh, church, listen. Don't ever, ever let anyone tell you that the incarnation is not important we just don't discuss that. We don't get into, no. The Bible says, you know what, if you're not acknowledging that, if you don't believe that in your heart, if you don't confess that as a believer, you're not of God. You're operating in the spirit of error. Now listen, we know it's true. Amen. Hold your place and let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Hold your place though, please. And look at Luke chapter 1 with me. And go down to verse 26. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a what? Virgin. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the what? Virgin's name was Mary. Now, Luke was a doctor. I mean, he just told us twice that Mary had never been with a man, okay? And he says here, and having come in, the angel said to her, Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, oh, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. Mary, you're going to bear the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. You're going to bear the Messiah, the Savior. You are going to bring forth God. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't know about you. I'll read that and I say, Mary, don't you think you should at least faint or something? You know, because I mean, listen, you're going to give your son's name is going to be Jesus. And that name is going to be a name that is higher than any name that's ever named in all the universe. Exalted above everything else at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess of those things, those in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Think about that. And not only that, Mary, look at verse 32. Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, meaning the Son of God. He is equal with God because he is God in the flesh. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. In other words, he's going to be a king. Matter of fact, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And it says here, he's going to be get the throne of the father David. So he's going to fulfill God's covenant that he made with David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And look at this. And he will reign over the house of what? Now, who is that? Israel. He will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, listen very carefully. Don't let anyone tell you that God is through with Israel. Now, America may be through with Israel. The other nations may be through with Israel. The United Kingdom may be through with Israel. But let me tell you something. God will never, ever, ever be through with Israel. Never. He's not through with them yet. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe that Mary is a virgin? All right. Well, then you need to believe that God's not through with Israel. And he's not through with them at all. And look what happens here. He says, and then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, and I love that, since I've not known a man. Now, listen to me. That means man had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. Very important that you see that. Now, Mary's not doubting. You say, how's this going to happen? She's not doubting. She's saying, you know, what kind of method is this going to be? She said, and let me tell you, she's a woman. In other words, she's going, now, how's it possible to have a baby without a husband? So you could really say that Mary's the first one that ever questioned the virgin birth. First one. You know, so what's this? What is this deal? This has just never happened before. And then the angel answered in verse 35 and said to her, watch this now. Very simple, Mary. Here's the procedure. Very simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One, meaning Jesus, the Holy One, meaning God, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus is God. He's fully man and fully God. I look at this and I say to myself, how do I explain that? You know, Mary, you know, listen, here's the deal. Your son will never know sin. Think about that. Could you imagine having a child that never sins? You're so shocked, you're speechless. Can you imagine being around someone who never sins in thought, word, deed, or action, who never thinks an impure thought, who's never had an impure judgment, who's never had a vile dream, who's never thought ill toward anyone, and everything he says is true, everything he does is perfect, and he's never made a mistake in his life? That's our Savior. That's the one who lives in our heart. He'll know no sin. And not only that, Mary, your son will do no sin. It says in 1 Peter 2:22, who committed no sin. And Mary, here's the deal. If you read the whole story, it's going to hurt you, Mary, because here's the deal. That little baby, his body, that human nature, that human God, man, the God man permanently joined together, his body has a purpose. Let me read that purpose to you from Hebrews 10:5. Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, God said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Here it is. But a body you have prepared for me. Jesus allowed them to put his body on the tree to die for you, to die for me, to take our place, to take our judgment, and to take our sin. He paid everything that has separated a person from God, Jesus has paid for. Now, look at verse 2 again. You should turn back and look now at verse 2, and let's read it now. By this you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, believes in their heart that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What is it then? Well, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. Loved one, listen to me. The spirit of error, The spirit of error is everywhere. The Antichrist, that spirit of Antichrist, that deception is all over the world in every generation, and it's absolutely working right now. Now listen, every false doctrine, everything that has the spirit of error comes from that Antichrist spirit. It says in 2 John 7, it says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." And here's what John says, "This is a deceiver and an Antichrist." It says in 1 John 2:22, it says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" In other words, fully God and fully man, perfect God and perfect man. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Who is the liar? I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if it's the government or universities or Bible colleges or whoever might be in the pulpit or the schools or whatever. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ and says he's not God, he's not fully God and fully human, listen to me, that is the spirit of error. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Are you following me? Let us never, ever be deceived. And then in verse 4, look at it. He says, "But you are of God." Now, in the Greek, that's what we call emphatic. And on the "you" is, it would be like me sitting here and I point my finger at you and go, "You." And John wants to get it across to you. He's excited. He says, "You, oh, listen, you are of God." And then he says, "Little children, little born again ones." He said, "You are of God." And look what he says, "And you've overcome them." Why? "Because he," meaning the Holy Spirit, "he who is in you lives in your heart, the Spirit of truth. He who is in you is greater than he," meaning the devil, of course, "he who is in this world, the prince of this world, the god of this age, that ruler of the kingdom of darkness. He's the defeated one." Listen to me. We have the spirit of truth living in us. Amen? Living in our hearts. I thank God for that. And you know what? Let us never be deceived. Get into the Word of God. Know what you believe in. You know, and you know what John was saying there? He says, it's like he was saying, never forget you're a child of God. He said, you belong to the Lord. And we've overcome them, plural, meaning the false teachers, meaning the Antichrist, meaning anyone who's operating in the spirit of error. And you know what? We have the victory. Aren't you glad that we're in the victory and we can participate in the victory? You see, we're in the one who's overcome the world. We're in the one who's overcome the wicked one. We're in the one who's coming back and may come back for us today. God is so good, and I thank God. Now note the contrast here. You know, we are of God, but verse 5 says, "They are of the world." Meaning anyone who denies Jesus coming in the flesh. It says they are of the world. Meaning they live for the world that's passing away. "Therefore they speak as the world, as of the world, and the world hears them." It says they are of the world. I used to be of the world. I used to think like the world, act like the world, and live for the world, and love the world, and love the things of the world. Operated in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. But then Jesus came into my heart. Jesus saved me. I'm no longer of this world. I live in this world, but I'm no longer of this world. I'm on my way home. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a place there waiting for me. Jesus has made me a place, made you a place. You know, listen, those are tragic words to say they are of the world, meaning the world system that is Antichrist, the world system that wants nothing to do with God. The world that's opposed to everything that is God. And these teachings, you know, they come from the spirit of error. And the world listens to them. Isn't that amazing? The world listens to them. They listen to what is false and they're being led astray. You know, I mean no disrespect to anyone here, but there's times that some of you come to me over the past and they say, "Hey, Pastor Bill, I'm going to go down tonight because so-and-so's in town I mean, I know that he's weird and, you know, da-da-da-da, and I know that he teaches a lot of false doctrine, but I'm going down there and I just look at him like, okay, well, you don't have to confess your sins to me. I mean, you know, but, you know, I say to myself, why would you go sit, why are you going? I don't say that to him. I say, well, you know, I can't stop you. I'm not your Lord. I'm not your master. I work for the same shepherd that you do. You know, why would you want to go down and listen to a bunch of false teaching? Why would you want to just go and be entertained? Why not? I want to be changed. And so, let me tell you what one Bible scholar said. Listen to what he said. He said this. He says, to sit under false teaching that contradicts the truth of Scripture is to be taught by demons. I like that guy. Now, if I said that, I'd have 100 emails tomorrow. But that's what he said. That's very recognized. Like if I said who it is, you'd know immediately. Let me read it again. To sit under false teaching that contradicts the truth of Scripture is to be taught by demons. We live in a world that is disintegrating. We live in a world that doesn't believe that Jesus manifested Himself, that God manifested Himself in the flesh, that He dwelt among us, that Jesus is God. He's the God-man. The world doesn't believe that. Loved one, there's a lot of people that sit in church that don't believe that today. Boy, I'll tell you, see, we've got to wake up. We've got to know what God says. We've got to embrace what God says, and then we need to walk in what God says. The world that we live in right now, listen to me now, the world is prepared. The world is prepared. The world, the stage is set, and the world is ripe and it's ready, and the world is willing to embrace anything that's false. How do you listen, I promise, you think that when the Antichrist finally comes, do you think the world is going to go hate him? Or go, oh, look at him. He's got these horns on his head. See that tail and the pitchfork? He's going to be one of the most beautiful, charismatic. You want to love this man. He's going to be, have you ever been around people that you just like being around because there's something about them? Well, he's going to be the type that you just want to be around. Like you've heard me teach so often, he's going to be a religious genius, military genius, economic genius. He's going to remedy things for the poor. Listen, this guy is going to, he's going to unite every religion. Think about that. The whole world, it says the whole world will go after him. The whole world will worship him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Think about that. And the world right now, listen, they would vote in, they would sell their soul as long as they could maintain their state of living. And whenever all hell starts breaking out on our planet, and it's going to, when there seems to be no way out, oh, there's going to be someone that's going to appear. And Revelation chapter 6 says he's coming to conquer. And when he does, he's coming with a bow, but it doesn't have any arrows. In other words, it's going to be a bloodless takeover. He's not going to kill a soul in the beginning. They're going to say, oh, you're our savior. You're going to help us. The world is ready. Why? Because the spirit of error is working in our world in a greater capacity than it ever has in the history of the world. Yeah. Why? Because the days are short. Because the days are drawing down. Oh, church, listen, we've got to be prepared. We are surrounded right now. We live in a world and we're surrounded by everything that is false, but we're not going to listen. And you know why? Verse 6 tells us why. We are what? You should underline that. We, that's us. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen, we're of God. We have the spirit of truth living in our hearts. We have the living word of God in our hands. We're not going to listen to the world. We're not going to be deceived. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. We haven't received that. But the spirit who is from God. And the reason? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Listen to me. Verse 6 teaches the believer something. We are of God. Those who hear us, you know, that means we have to say something. That means that we are commanded to tell people about the good news. Amen? We need to tell people that there's only one God, God the Father. There's only one Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? We need to tell people that, you know what? Jesus is coming. That Jesus died for your sins. We need to tell people the good news. We need to tell people that hell is real. And heaven is real. And eternal life is real. That God loves you. That's the spirit of truth. If I said God hates you, if I said that God has predestined some of you to burn in hell, that's the spirit of error. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? God, Ezekiel says, oh, why would you die? Turn. It says, turn to me and live. Jesus said, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. You have to be willing to come to him. God wants people to come. He sent Jesus to die for the whole world, not for a few, for the whole world. Listen to me now. I know it's time to close, and I'm getting ready to, but listen to me. There is no other way. See, the Bible says this about those who are living under the spirit of error. It says, it calls them the natural man. In other words, a person who's not been born again. It says, the natural man discerneth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? But see, here's what's so sad. Because I used to be a natural man. In other words, I walked according to my own flesh and whatever I believed. I mean, I didn't need God, didn't want God. I didn't believe in any of it. Well, see, why? Well, I'm the natural man. I embrace the spirit of the world. Do you understand? It's like I told the first service. I don't know if I told you or not. I may have already told you if you do, it's because the cheese is slipping off the cracker. But but here's the deal is that one of you could go out tomorrow and go to the Fort Worth Star Telegram, put an ad in the paper and say next Saturday at 1 o'clock at the convention center downtown Fort Worth, brand new church is starting. It's called the Church of the UFO. You know what that means, right? Okay. You know, and then you can have a picture of E.T. on the front. You know, or you can have little recordings. Phone, home, you know, all those things. You understand? And you know what? You say, and pizza's going to be served. This is our initial meeting. Don't miss it. I promise you, you'd have 100 people show up. Why? It's the spirit of error. It's the spirit of the world. The world will embrace anything. Are you listening to me? The world will believe anything. Why is it so hard then to come to Christ? He is the only way. Because the devil has a veil, a mental veil, if you will, over the mind. And it's the mind that the devil tries to deceive. That's where the spirit of error goes into. Oh, church, listen, there's only one way. Only one way. His name is Jesus. I had a person tell me the other day, it's the spirit of error, by the way. He told me, he says, I don't believe and I don't need anything to do with that little fairy tale that was born in a manger. I said, oh. I said, I'll use you in my sermon. That's a spirit of error. Jesus put it like this. You must be born again. That's it. Now listen to me. You that are listening live right now and you that are present. No one can save you but Jesus. No other religion on earth can save a man but Jesus. There is, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. No man comes to the Father except through me, except by me. There's no other way. Are you listening to me? There's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't say, well, I'm just a good person. Well, you know what? You may be a good person, but a lot of good people end up not going to heaven. Why? They receive the spirit of error. I'm good enough. God is going to accept me. No, God can't accept you. The only way God can accept a man is through Jesus Christ. Why? He died for us. He paid our sin debt. And now he lives for us. Why would anyone miss that? Why would anyone miss that? Because they're deceived by the spirit of error. Please don't be deceived, because the Bible says there's no name given unto man under heaven by which they must be saved except one, Jesus. If you don't know him this morning, the one who was born in the manger, the God-man, the one who grew up for one purpose, to die for you and to die for me. If you don't know him, will you come to him right now? Will you speak to the spirit of error and say, I will not believe you. I want the spirit of truth operating. You can say that quietly. If you don't know Lord right now, just say it quietly to yourself. Just say it inside. I want the spirit of truth to tell me the truth. Your mind is going to go crazy, but in your heart, you're going to say, what is that? What is that? What is that I'm feeling in my heart? What is that drawing that I'm feeling? Why is my mind saying to run out of this building or turn off the radio right now or turn off that internet? Why is it? No, that's the spirit of error. See, the devil wants to trap you. God wants to free you. If you don't know Jesus, you come to him right now by praying this prayer with me. If you don't know the Lord, pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, I want the spirit of truth. And I want the spirit of error to depart from me. Depart from my mind. I want Jesus to save me. The God man who died for me. So right now, I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess that and really believe it, you would save me. Save me now. In Jesus' name. I'm saved.